This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salam ala abdillahi wa rasulih, Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Okay, I wanted to ask, are we okay with those, both of them? We're okay with YouTube. Very good. Okay, alhamdulillah. Excellent. So, today, inshallah ta'ala, we have a brand new topic for our kids' class, inshallah ta'ala. We're going to be talking about manners and the characteristics of a Muslim. So, what makes somebody a good Muslim? What kind of behavior should they have? What kind of character should they have? What kind of qualities should they have? Before I'm going to ask you the question, put your hands up, I'm getting there. Kind request for the sister side today, because you're all in one room and we're not able to separate between those who are actively listening and those who are maybe waiting for their children. So we would just ask that if we could just keep the noise down as much as possible and just have try to let the girls listen to the class as much as possible. I know it's difficult because everybody is in one room, and normally we provide the sisters two rooms, one for those who are actively listening to the class and one for those who aren't. Inshallah, we'll just get the girls' connection going, inshallah. I did forget. I was going to say I didn't forget, but I did. So I have the girls in one ear, inshallah, so I can hear what they're saying. Maybe we can try that now. Let me have a look. How do I do it here? Let's try. Okay, first things first. I have to make my ear work. Where's it going? Just disconnect. Yours are driving for me. That should be okay now. Yep, connected. Very good. Excellent. And now we should be able to connect the girls. Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me? Can you hear me okay? You can. Excellent. Okay, brilliant. So we are good to go. So we're going to do a brief introduction, inshallah, to why it's important to have good manners and good character in Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in an authentic hadith, "Innama bu'ithtu li'utammima salih al-akhlaq." That's the narration in Musnad Imam Ahmad. I was only sent to perfect good manners. Now, I've got a question for you. In Islam, we have loads of things, right? We have prayer, we have our belief, we have so many different things. So many different things in Islam. We have charity, we have Hajj, we have fasting, we have being good to your parents. How is it the Prophet ﷺ said, "I was only sent"? Innama bu'ithtu. The only reason I was sent is to complete and make your manners perfect. لِأُتَمِّمَ صَالِحَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. Girls have got an answer. Let's see from the boys. Yusuf, you have an idea? You can tell your dad if you want, and then your dad can tell me.
Sorry, what was the question again?
So being good to your parents, excellent. Being good to your parents is part of it. But the question is this. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Innama bu'ithtu." The only thing I was sent, the only reason I was sent is to make your good manners perfect. So how can that be when there is prayer, there is Hajj, there is fasting, there is, you know, there is so so many things in Islam. How can the Prophet say, the only reason I was sent is to make your good manners perfect? Okay, so to emphasize, the girl said, how important it is to make it really important in people's mind. Okay, that's one option. Okay, go for it. Okay, that's part of good manners, definitely, to look at how poor people have to live. You're right. But I'm not asking that question. I'm asking the question, listen to the question carefully. In Islam, we have so many things. We pray our prayers, we fast, we give zakah, we go to hajj, we have so many things. But in this hadith, it's like the Prophet said, there's nothing in Islam except good manners. Yes, Anas? Because? I like the answer. If you can explain to me why, that's the perfect answer. Anna said, because all of it is good manners. But you have to explain to me why. How is all of it good manners? Ooh, two boys know the answer. Any girl, three boys have got hands up. Girls. Okay, girl said, good manners are everything. I don't know. Okay, let's see, from the boys. Muhammad.
Like you have to pray in a good way, like not rush.
Good, I like that also. You're getting there. You have to pray in a good way. Okay, let me ask a question. Good manners, okay, how you treat other people. Okay, how do you behave towards other people? The Prophet ﷺ said, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتُ وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقِ الْحَسَنِ. Treat the people with the best manners. Is good manners limited to how you treat other people? What about how you are with Allah? Is that not also good manners? What do you think? You think it is? What do you think? Yes, so how you are towards Allah and how you are towards people, all of it comes from your good manners. Your good manners with Allah and your good manners with the people. Your good manners with Allah is your worship you do for Allah. That's part of your good relation, the way you have a good relationship with Allah. Your heart is connected to Allah. And also the way that you are with other people. You haven't no audio at all. Sorry? Okay, we can pause for a second and check what's the matter with it. Bad echo. Bad echo because? Yeah, it's like far away. Okay, so maybe your audio is on there, camera one. Okay, have you checked you actually plugged the audio into camera one? You didn't plug it into camera two? Which camera does that say on the side? Ah, your cables are in the wrong way. Your audio's on camera two. Just change your audio to camera two here. And you'll be fine. Ah, problem solved. I am not convinced. I don't know what you plugged in. Okay, 1 minute. We're going to stand up, we're going to fix it. It's okay. We'll fix it. Okay, leave that one on there. Okay, now we've got that camera and that audio. Yes? No. 1 second.
Okay. Is it plugged in? Let's find out. Is it switched on? Testing, 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 testing. Yeah, it's switched on. Is it plugged in? No, wasn't plugged in. Just wasn't pushed in. Now we're good to go. Inshallah.
Okay. It's all right. We have these technical issues sometimes. It's fine. Okay. Inshallah, now it's going to start. It will be fine, inshallah. It will be fine, inshallah. So, we said that even how you behave towards Allah is part of your good manners, and how you behave towards other people is part of your good manners. And we gave that for that the evidence of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إنما بعثت لأتمم صالح الأخلاق. Okay. What can we say about why good manners are really important? What can we say? So give me some ideas. Why is it really important to have good manners? Good. Girls gave me a good answer. They said they give people impression of how Islam is. So it can be a way of da'wah for you. It can be a way for you to give da'wah to people, because people will learn Islam through the way you behave towards people. Okay, good. Who have I not heard from? Mubin, I don't think I heard from you for a while.
It's a chance that you'll go to Jannah.
It's an opportunity for you to go to Jannah. I love that. Why is that so important? Because there is nothing heavier on your scales on the day of judgment than good manners. So good manners weigh heavy on your scales on the day of judgment. It's a very good answer. Yes?
It's a way to get respect back from people.
Okay, if you treat people well, they will treat you well. Sorry, Aisha, what was that from your side? Because Allah ordered us to. And we've got an evidence that Allah ordered us to in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. This ayah tells us that Allah ordered us, خُذ الْعَفْوَ. Let things go. Let pardon people. Like, forgive people when they do something bad to you. Let it go. وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ. And command what's good. Command what is good. Like, tell people to do what's good. وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. And if someone behaves badly towards you, what should you do to them? Should you behave badly towards them? No. And let them go. Turn away and let them, just let them do their thing, but don't do what they do to you. So this is part of the good manners in Islam. And we know in this hadith, the hadith of Mu'adh, in which the Prophet ﷺ said, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتُ وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُوهَا وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. The Prophet ﷺ gave three pieces of advice for Mu'adh. Three pieces of advice. He said, wherever you are in the world, have taqwa of Allah. And he do the right thing, obey Allah, do what Allah told you to do. And keep away from what Allah told you to keep away from. Obey Allah, wherever you are. And follow up a bad deed with a good deed, it will wipe it out. So if you did something bad, what do you do straight away? Afterwards? When you did something bad, straight away, what do you do? Yes. If you did something bad, what should you do afterwards?
Say sorry.
Say sorry, good. So you should do something good. You should do something good. What do you think?
Ask for forgiveness.
Ask for forgiveness, yes. What do you think, Yusuf?
Do a good deed.
Okay, very good. So when you do something bad, do something good. And the third one, treat the people with the best manners. Treat people with the best manners. Excellent. So that's part of the importance. What else can you tell me about the person who has, why it's important to have good manners? Why is it important? I like the girls' answer about da'wah. People will learn about Islam from that. Why else, girls, is it important? it makes you a better person inside, and it purifies your soul. So you can give an evidence for what the girl said in the statement of Allah, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. That part of what you clean, you make your soul clean and your heart clean. How do you do it? By if you are a good person and you treat other people good, you don't hold bad things in your heart like jealousy and hatred. So you're gonna feel like, what's the word? You're gonna feel like to be a happy person. You're gonna feel like a person who doesn't get sad by what other people say. You're gonna feel like a person who your heart is light. Yeah? There was a man, this man, he went to Jannah. He was from the people of Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ said, there's a man gonna come from over there. Not over there, in the hadith, over there. And this man is from the people of Jannah. So the man came, and he was nobody special, just a regular guy. So the Sahaba was surprised. Why is this man? The Prophet tells us this man is from the people of Jannah. And what's special? So one of the Sahaba said, I'm going to stay with you for 3 days. I want to watch what you do. Maybe you pray more, maybe you fast more, maybe you give charity more. Maybe there's something you do that makes you special. He spent time with him. And in that time that he spent this time with him, he said, I didn't see you doing anything special. You kind of pray the same way that I pray. And you do what I do. What is it? Why do you think the Prophet ﷺ said that you are from the people of Jannah? He said, I don't know any reason except when I go to sleep at night, I don't put anything in my heart against another Muslim. Some people, they go to sleep at night and their heart is full of what? It's full of, oh, this guy did this to me, I'm going to get my revenge on him. This one did this to me, I'm not friends with him. This one did this. And they have, their heart is full of things that stop them going to Jannah. Why even, could it even stop you going to Jannah if you are right and they are wrong? How could it? How? So the point is, you're not okay. So you're not supposed to hold a grudge. And Allah said, "Khudh al-afw," be patient with people, be pardon people. Okay, but there's another reason, a simple reason, which we studied in the day of judgment. Why having things in your heart slows you down from going to Jannah? Where do you have to stop? Where do you get delayed? Which part of the day of judgment will you get delayed at? If you have in your heart, we did it last week or the week before. You're gonna get stuck there. And you're not going to be able to go past because you've got too many things in your heart against other Muslims. What did we say the name for that place is? Anas, did you have an idea? Who else has an idea? Yusuf has an idea. Go on, Yusuf. You have an idea?
If you want Allah to forgive you, you need to forgive Muslims.
That's very true. If you want Allah to forgive you, you need to forgive other people. That's very true. That's completely correct. So that's what I'm saying, that there's when you don't forgive people, something will slow you down in the day of judgment. There's a place in the day of judgment. Is it before the bridge or after the bridge? Over the fire. Who says before?
Me.
Put your hand up. Who says after? Okay, after is right. After the path over the fire, there's a place called Al-Qantara. And that's the place where all the Muslims who had issues with other Muslims get sorted out. All the Muslims that have any things with other Muslims, they're all from the people of Jannah, but there's problems between them. He did this to me, he did that to me. So who will go past that the fastest is the one that doesn't have anything in their heart. I don't mind what anyone did to me, I just want to go to Jannah. So that's also very good for what you said about the importance of having good manners. It's the heaviest thing on the scales. And a person can reach with their good manners, they can reach a status of the person who prays a lot and fasts a lot. I mean, somebody who prays a lot and fasts a lot, someone could reach the same level as them because of they just have good manners with people. Does that mean you can't pray? You can just not pray and have good manners? No, because you can't go to Jannah at all if you're not praying, right? But a person who prays loads of extra prayers and someone who pray as many as that person, but they have good manners, they could reach the same place as each other because of the, how important good manners is in the religion of Islam. Yes?
I have a question.
Go for it. He did pray. Asa used to pray. Do you know how Asa used to pray? Do you know how Asa used to pray? He used to pray like we pray. Like he used to pray like Muslims pray. Not exactly, but he used to do sujood. So even in their book that they mention about Asa, when they talk about the Bible, even there it's mentioned that he used to put his hands and his face on the ground when he prayed. He used to pray with his hands and his face on the ground, like we pray, our sajda. He used to pray, all the prophets used to pray, alayhi salatu wasalam. All the prophets used to pray. All the prophets. Different ways, like, I mean, the prayers were not exactly the same, like Allahu Akbar was not the same in every prophet, but the idea of praying was the same for every prophet. It's a really good question. Okay, so we talked a little bit about how important it is to have good manners. How important it is to have good manners. Okay. Even there are ahadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, for example, he was asked, what is the thing that most people will make most people go to Jannah? سُئِلَ عَنْ أَكْثَرْ مَا يَدْخُلُ النَّاسَ الْجَنَّةِ or مَا يُدْخِلُ النَّاسَ الْجَنَّةِ. What is the thing that most people go to Jannah for? He said, تَقْوَى اللَّهُ وَحُسْنُ الْخُلُقُ. The reason most people go to Jannah is obeying Allah and good manners. Obeying Allah and good manners. Let's try that and see if the volume is a little bit better on the live stream now. Okay. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for example, he said, I will guarantee a house in paradise for the one who leaves arguing even if they are right. And I will guarantee a house in the middle of paradise for the one who leaves off lying even if they're joking. And I guarantee a house in the highest place of paradise for the one who makes their manners good. This hadith is a narration. It's narrated by Abu Dawood and others, and the hadith is authentic. So what did the Prophet ﷺ mention? He mentioned a house in paradise for the one who leaves arguing even if they are right. That's part of good manners, right? You're right, but you don't argue. Also, a house in the middle of paradise for the one who leaves off lying even when they're joking. And in the highest place of paradise for the one who perfects their manners. And we said perfecting your manners has all to do with the different parts of Islam. All of them are to do with making, or to do with having good manners. The Prophet ﷺ said, أَحَبُّ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا. The most beloved of Allah's servants, the ones that Allah loves the most, are the ones who have the best manners. How were the manners of our Prophet ﷺ? You have to bring me an ayah. With an ayah. How were the manners of the Prophet ﷺ? Who can give me an ayah? Or a hadith? They can tell me how good the manners. Go on, try.
He always forgives people. He always asks for forgiveness.
That's very true. That's very true. Do you know any ayah or any hadith which you can tell me to show me how the manners of Prophet ﷺ used to be? Let's see. It's a hard question. Let me just see one thing. Let's just at the bottom here, which, yeah, you were right, right there, somewhere there, there's one that says audio. No, girls. Girls said Ayatul Kursi. Ayatul Kursi is about Allah's description. Who can give me something about the manners of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Go on. Very good. You gave me a hadith. I'll give it to you for giving me a hadith. Ahsant. He gave me the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha when she said about the Prophet ﷺ, كان خلقه القرآن, that his manners were the manners of the Quran. That's excellent. I said an ayah or a hadith, girls, don't get upset. Yusuf, you have an answer? Excellent. That's what I was looking for. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You have the best manners. You have the best manners. That's exactly what I was looking for. You have the best manners. Okay, excellent. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You have the best manners. Very good. Also the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا. The best of the believers in Iman, the ones that have the most complete Iman, is the one who has the best manners. Excellent. That's what I wanted to cover for that introduction, just as an introduction to it. Now we can talk about manners in two ways. Good manners and bad manners. Okay, that was the easy question. That wasn't difficult. I just want to see who is awake and who is sleeping. Most people were sleeping. Good manners and bad manners. So we want to talk about the things in Islam which are part of good manners in Islam, and we want to talk about the things in Islam which are part of bad manners. And I have a long list here. I actually have a list in my notes of maybe at least we have 50 different examples or different words that we can give for good manners. And I'm going to pick, let me see. Today, let's try and cover, if we can, 5 or 6. Okay? But what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to choose which ones we're going to cover, inshallah. So I want now you to give me, everyone think of an example of something which is good manners. Okay, girls gave a suggestion. Let's hear an example of good manners. An example of good manners. Yes, Zach. Okay, your good manners with Allah. So that is like loving Allah and sort of showing your need of Allah. That's part of your good manners with Allah. We'll talk about that today, inshallah. The girl said being good to your parents. Okay? The girl said being good to your parents. So that it comes under, perhaps it comes under the word al-birr. Being good to your parents. Okay, excellent. Let me see, I heard from you, I want someone different, I didn't hear from at all. Yeah, good manners to Allah, we spoke, but the boy said it. Yes?
Yeah, respecting other people.
Okay, respecting other people. That one we have to kind of maybe divide it into which other people we're talking about. Because if it's parents, it has a name, and if it's our neighbors, it has a name, and if it's our friends, it has a name, and if it's our teachers, it has a name. But it's good. Yeah, it's good. It's good. Yeah, I haven't heard from you today. Go on.
Being kind to your neighbor.
Okay, being good to your neighbor. That's good. We're being very general now. Being good to. Specific things that are part of your good manners. Ashi has one? Okay. Being honest. I love that one. That one we're going to talk about today, definitely. Being honest and trustworthy. Okay. Let me see. Yeah. Yeah, being nice to your friends, but it's like you're being like general. Let's go into something specific now. What about things like generosity? Being generous. Yeah? Being generous. Okay. What else do we have? Noor, I haven't heard from you today.
Helping people.
Being helpful. Okay, a town. I like that. That's very good. Did we have, we had one from... I'll get your names mixed up. Yusuf. Yusuf?
Yeah.
I got you right. You're Yusuf and you're Lawi, right? I got you the right word. Okay, Yusuf. Yeah, that's very true. That's from good manners. Is being someone who is like a happy person, who smiles at people, who is easygoing. What about being like gentle with people and easygoing with people, forgiving people? Is your hand going to fall off your arm? You're like stretching like that. Okay, Muhammad, yes.
Being humble.
Being humble. What does that mean?
It means like accepting mistakes that you did and people telling you that you
did. So humility, the girl said. What else, what does it mean, Muhammad?
It means that, like, if you made a mistake and somebody corrected you and you say, okay,
yeah, if you made a mistake and somebody corrected you, you admit and you say, yeah, I did make a mistake. So not being proud. Not being proud. Okay, very good. Excellent. Okay. I'll go on moving. Your hand was falling.
Respecting the people that are older than you.
Respecting people that are older than you. Yes, happy.
Always ask Allah for forgiveness.
Asking for forgiveness. Constantly going back to Allah and asking for forgiveness. I like it. Yes. Oh, that's good. I like that one. Respecting the masjid. So respecting the things that Allah told you to respect. Yes. I couldn't hear you, you have to shout. Looking after stuff. So that's like amana, like what you said before, like about being trustworthy and having amana. It's excellent. We're going to talk about that, inshallah. Yes.
Being generous.
Generous, yep.
Being honest to parents.
Being honest to everybody. Being honest. Yes, go on. Yeah, respecting the things that Allah told you to respect, like the Quran and the Masjid. Very good. Okay. All right, guys. Which one can we start with first? The first one I want to start with is I want to talk about al-amana. I'm going to talk about being honest and trustworthy. And this was a suggestion we had from the back. It's very good. Being honest and trustworthy. And really what the word amana is, the word amana, it really means that your heart isn't scared with something you left with that person or something you trusted that person, you don't have a worry about them. Your heart is settled with that person. That's what the scholars, they said. The word amana, it means tumanina, or it means tumanina to nafs, wazawal khawf. It means that your heart is settled with that. You don't worry about it. That's what it means originally. And then it's used for what you give someone or you trust someone with. Okay? What you trust someone with is also called an amana. So in Islam, what it is everything that you have been trusted to do and given to keep safe. Everything you've been trusted to do and everything you've been given to keep safe. So it means that the person is trustworthy with what they've been asked to do and what they have been asked to keep safe for other people. And now, I'm going to show you how manners comes into everything in Islam. We said that amana, your trustworthiness, is part of good manners, right? So that means that you've been asked to do something. Like I've said that, Abdullah, I want you today to write notes for the class and give them to me at the end. So I trusted Abdullah to do that. Agreed? I gave him a responsibility. And he kept that responsibility and he did his job. So he's a person of amana. That's good manners. He was given a job, he did the job he was given. Or I give, let's say for example, my car key to somebody. And I say, there's my car key. Look after it, don't lose it. And the person looks after it and they don't lose it and they give it back to me without damaging it or without doing anything bad. That's amana as well. Isn't your whole religion, all of it, do with being trustworthy? Because isn't it that Allah has asked you to be trustworthy in what Allah has given you as well? It's true. Because Allah said, "Inna aradna al-amanata 'ala as-samawati wal-ardi wal-jibal fa'abayna an yahmilnaha wa ashfaqna minha wa hamalaha al-insan innahu kana zaluman jahula." Allah gave the responsibility of Islam. So Allah calls His Sharia, His religion, Allah calls it an aman. Being Muslim is a responsibility. Allah has given it to, for you to keep this religion, and for you to do what you've been told, and for you to practice what you've been given. Now you have to do your job. You have to fulfill that responsibility. And the people who do it properly, Allah rewards them with paradise, because they were given a responsibility by Allah, and they did what they were given. They did a good job of it. They looked after it, they took care of it. They took care of the rules that Allah told them to take care of. Like the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, احفظِ اللَّهَ يَحْفَظ. If you look after what Allah told you to take care of, and you guard what Allah told you to guard, Allah will guard you and look after you and take care of you. So your whole religion is all amana. Islam is all amana. Now who was known as, who was given the name or the nickname or the title Al-Amin? The most trustworthy person. Who was given this? Go on, Muhammad.
The Prophet Muhammad.
The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even before Islam, he was known for his aman. That anybody who left something with him, he will give it back to them exactly how they left it. And anyone who gave him a job to do, he will do the job exactly as he was given it to do. And the person doesn't have any worry. They know in their heart, this is a trustworthy person. Do you think now today, people are becoming less trustworthy? Did we not mention it as a sign from the signs of the Day of Judgment?
I think we did.
We did, right? We said one of the signs of the Day of Judgment is that people will stop being trustworthy. Until you'll eventually say, we should travel to that other city because there's one person in that other city who is trustworthy. That's how bad it will get. That there's nobody in a whole city who you can trust. So it's really important for us to be trustworthy people. And like we said, trustworthy people really comes down to two things. It comes down to what you've been asked to do and what you've been asked to keep safe. The things you've been asked to keep safe, you keep safe, keep them safe, and you don't take them for yourself. You look after them, you keep them safe, and you give them back to the person how they gave them to you. And the second thing is when you've been asked to do something, like given a responsibility, like I'm trusting you to lock the door tonight, or I'm trusting you to take this responsibility, or I'm trusting you to come early and put the lights on, or something like that. You've been asked to do something, you do what you've been asked to do, and the person shouldn't be worried about it. They shouldn't be thinking, oh, they're not going to do it, maybe they won't do it. They're going to know, this is a person, when I ask them to do something, they do what I asked, exactly like they promised. And when I give them something to look after, they look after what they've been given, and they don't do anything, they give it back how it was. Yes? No, if it's something haram, then you're not, you shouldn't take that amana to begin with. You shouldn't take that thing to begin with. Yeah? If you don't know about something, you don't know about something. Because what Allah said comes first, right? It's more important than what people ask you to do. Okay. Allah said, "Inna Allah ya'murukum an tu'addu al-amanati ila ahliha." Allah commands you, if you've been given something to keep safe, you keep it safe and you give it back to the person who gave it to you safely. Or if you've been given a responsibility, you fulfill your responsibilities properly and you do what you've been told. And that's, subhanAllah, such a hard thing to do. It's such a hard thing to do in our time. And it's so easy for people not to take it seriously and not to think about it. It's very important. Okay, so we spoke about amana. We should also in this time speak about honesty as well. That should also be part of what we speak about. So truthfulness and honesty. And it goes together with al-aman. So now we're going to talk about as-sidq. We're going to talk about being truthful. We're going to talk about being truthful. What do we know about why it's important to be truthful? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Be with the people who are truthful. And Allah said, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ. That the people who are on the straight path, they are the prophets and the truthful people. And Allah Azza wa Jal said, قَالَ اللَّهُ هَذَا يَوْمُ يَنْفَعُ الصَّادِقِينَ صِدْقُهُمْ. This is the day when the truthful people will benefit from their truth, from being truthful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَالْقَانِتِينَ وَالْقَانِتَاتِ وَالصَّادِقِينَ وَالصَّادِقَاتِ. Allah promised the people who are truthful, the men and the women, أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Allah is going to give them forgiveness. And Allah is going to give them a great reward. We should also talk about the opposites. What's the opposite of being truthful? Yes, Mubin. Lying. Do you know what the Prophet ﷺ said? The hadith is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He said, إِنَّ الصِّدْقَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْبِرَّ وَإِنَّ الْبِرَّ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَإِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَسْتُقُ حَتَّى يَكُونَ صِدِّيقًا وَإِنَّ الْكَذِبَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْفُجُورِ وَإِنَّ الْفُجُورَ يَهْدِي إِلَى النَّارِ وَإِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَكْذِبَ حَتَّى يُكْتَبَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَذَّابًا. He said, being truthful leads you to being a good person, being a really good person. And being a good person leads you to Jannah. And a person keeps on telling the truth until Allah writes their name as being from the Siddiqeen, the very truthful people, like Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And someone who lies, it leads them to doing bad things. And bad things lead you to the fire. And a person keeps on lying until Allah writes them down as Kadhab, the biggest liar. Like who is the example of kadhab? Like the shaytan, like Iblis. Yeah? حَتَّى يُكْتَبَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَذَّابَ. They're written as a liar in the sight of Allah. So when you tell the truth, it leads you to doing good things. And when you do good things, it leads you to Jannah. And when you lie, it leads you to doing bad things. And when you do bad things, it leads you to the fire. Okay, when you lie about small things, it leads you to lying about big things. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, he said that the characteristics, that there are characteristics, there are, that if these things are in a person, they have the characteristics of a hypocrite. The characteristics of the hypocrites are إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبٍ. If that person speaks, they lie. If they speak, they lie. وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفٍ. And when they make a promise, they break their promise. وَإِذَا تُمِنَ خَانٍ. And when they're given an amanah, given a responsibility, they betray, they don't fulfill their responsibility, they don't do the right thing with it. They don't do the right thing with it. So now this is going to lead us to one more of the good qualities that we're going to talk about. This might be the last one we might get a chance to talk about today, which is keeping your promises. That's from the good manners that we aim to have. A person keeping their promises, being somebody who keeps their promises. When you make a promise, you have to keep that promise that you made. This is a difficult one, right? The first thing about this is you shouldn't make too many promises to people. Do you think that's true?
Yeah.
Like if you make too many promises to people, you might promise things you can't do. So you shouldn't make too many promises to people. Okay? But if you make a promise to somebody, you should try your very best to fulfill that promise. Sometimes you can't, you just got stuck and you can't do it. So you apologize to them and you ask them to forgive you. And you tell them you couldn't fulfill that promise. But when you make a promise, you should try your best to stick to that promise. And that's part of truthfulness, and it's part of aman, part of responsibility as well. That you, when you make a promise, you stick to your promise. And that's what Allah tells us about Himself. Inna Allah la yukhliful mi'ad. Allah doesn't break His promise. And Allah doesn't like for us to break our promise. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, he made breaking the promise one of the signs of the hypocrites, the signs of the people who don't really believe in Islam properly. That they break their promises and they don't tell the truth, and they, when they're given a responsibility, they break that. They don't keep that responsibility safe. They don't give it back to the person safely. We spoke today about these three things. We spoke about the importance of good manners, and we spoke about truthfulness, amana, and keeping your promises. Okay? And we spoke also about the opposite of them. What's the opposite of amana, of being trustworthy? What's the opposite of being trustworthy? No, it's not lying. That's the opposite of being truthful. What's the opposite of being trustworthy?
Untrustworthy.
Yeah, being untrustworthy. And this is what we call khiyana. Yeah, like betraying people's trust and being untrustworthy. People being scared. If I leave even a coin with this person, I will not see it again. Or if I ask this person to do one thing, I have no belief they're not going to do it for me. And the opposite of truthfulness is lying. And is Allah truthful? وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. No one is more truthful than Allah. Allah is the most truthful in what He says. So we should try to be truthful in what we say. Okay. And we spoke about keeping your promises, because Allah doesn't break His promise. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادَ. Allah does not break His promises. And Allah wants us to be people who keep our promises, who are truthful in what we say, and who we don't lie. We said about lying, that lying, small lies leads to big lies. And big lies leads to a person not believing in Islam. As the Prophet ﷺ told us, حَتَّى يُكْتَبَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَذَّابًا. The person has written that they are the biggest kind of liar. So it's really important. And what did we hear in the hadith about the house in the middle of Jannah? For the one who leaves what? Lying, even when they are joking. Yeah? Leaving off lying even when you're joking. A lot. What is lying, by the way? Can anyone tell me what is lying? It's a tough question. I don't know how many people answer this correctly. What is lying?
Say for example, I did something and then my sister's near me, and then I get it. And then my parents asked me who did it. I lied and said it was my sister.
That's a good example. That's a really good example. So you, what would you, how could you explain that, like, in a way that covers every kind of lie? You said something that...
Blaming?
Yeah, blaming is definitely one type of it. You said something that... Yes, I...
You don't tell the truth.
Yeah, you said something that isn't true. Now, why I say don't tell the truth, I wanted to be really, really careful on this one. You said something that isn't true, because there are two types of lying. There's deliberate lying and accidental lying. In Arabic, lying is just al-ikhbaru khilaf al-waq. You tell someone something that isn't what is really true. You might do that deliberately, you might do that accidentally, you might not do it deliberately. You might do it deliberately, you might do it accidentally. In Islam, the one that is blameworthy is deliberately saying something that isn't true. Are there any exceptions to that? Yeah, there are. There are some times which the Prophet ﷺ allowed, but very, very few. Like, he allowed in the time of war, if you're fighting a war against someone, you can lie to your enemy. about your plans. You know, you don't tell them I'm going to attack you tomorrow at exactly 1 o'clock. So be ready, and I'm very truthful. And you're allowed to attack them at 12 o'clock, or 11, like you're allowed to tell them in a war. But this is so serious. It's such a serious thing. For something, lying is such a huge thing. Who is described as lying? Shaitan. The Prophet ﷺ said, Sadaqaka wa huwa kadhub. He told you the truth, but he's the big liar. That is Shaitan. That's the Shaitan. So this is what we wanted to talk about today from good manners, truthfulness, and keeping your promises, and fulfilling your responsibilities and the things you're trusted with. And we spoke earlier about the importance of good manners in Islam. Inshallah, we're going to continue our topic of the things which are good manners with some of the other suggestions. I think we had the suggestion of being good to your parents. We had helping each other. We had being someone who is friendly and outgoing and smiling at people. We had generosity. All of those, inshallah, we're going to talk about bi-idhnillahi ta'ala in the next coming lessons. And we're going to talk about the opposite of those and why it's bad. Okay, we have time for questions for 5 minutes, inshallah. Yes. Very good question. Amazing question. Okay. Someone who is not a Muslim and they keep their promises, do they get reward? They get reward, but the question is where do they get reward? Do they get it after they die or before they die? What do you think? Muslims, we get our reward where? Inshallah, we get it in Jannah, right? We get our reward in paradise. They get it before. Allah will give them some money in this dunya, a nice house, a nice car, a good friend, but Allah won't give them in the hereafter unless they become Muslim. If they become Muslim, then Allah will reward them for the good things they did, even before. So somebody who is not a Muslim, if they did good before their Islam, if they become Muslim, all the good they did, it's kept for them. And all the bad they did is wiped out. But if they don't become Muslim, the only reward they get for the good they did is in this world, in this life. They don't get anything in the hereafter. Yes?
If you're Muslim and if you don't keep your promises, do you still get reward?
You can get reward for other things, but you can get a big punishment as well if you don't keep your promises as a Muslim. You can get a big punishment if you don't keep your promises as a Muslim.
Is it only a promise if we say I promise, or does anything we say to another person we will do automatically become a promise?
So the biggest, sort of the most important promise is the one where you say to someone, I promise you. But even if you say to somebody, I will do this for you, then that's a promise. You should try to always say, inshallah, right? وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا إِنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Whenever you're going to do something, you shouldn't say, I'm going to do something tomorrow. You should say, if Allah will, inshallah, if Allah wills. So try not to say to people, for example, oh, I will definitely do that for you. That's a promise if you say to somebody, I'll definitely do that for you. But if you say to someone, look, you know, I'll try, inshallah, let's see, maybe I'll be able to do it, I'm not sure. But try not to make lots of promises to people, because that leads you to breaking your promises. Yes?
You know, if you lie, just like a little lie, and then you tell the person that you lied to that you were lying and tell them the truth, it will lead to more lying, because then you'll have to lie about why you didn't tell them the truth, and then it'll just keep on lying and lying.
So you have to be careful about the lying that leads to lying. But you can tell someone the truth and then make an intention, I will not lie about it again. So it's really important. The little lies are what makes the big lies come. Don't get in the habit of telling little lies. Like even when you're joking, don't make yourself in the habit of telling little lies, because those little lies become big lies, right? Very good. Yes.
If you make a promise with someone and then that person went away, does that
Yeah, that's a hard one. That's a hard one. I understand completely what you mean. when you made a when you made a promise, and one second, that's, I think this is the problem. Yeah, I saw it. Okay, can the girls hear me? Yeah, sorry, I had a bad connection. Okay, so sorry, who was the last one?
Me.
Yeah, go on.
If you make a promise with someone.
Yeah, and then they go away. I remember your question. So it's that one. If you made a promise to someone, but then they go away, what can you do? So the first thing you can do is you can try to fulfill the promise you made. But if you can't do that because you promised you would meet them tomorrow and they've left or something like that, then you can make dua for them, you know, and you can also make an intention that if they come back, you will fulfill that promise for them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. What if you lied to your dad because you know?
Just one second on the girl's side. One. Yeah. Well, I don't know the answer to that question. The girls asked a very, very difficult question about who is a bigger liar, the shaitan or the dajjal. I think they are both liars. SubhanAllah. I don't know the answer to that question. Yes.
What if you lied to your dad because you know he will get upset and you don't want to get upset?
What about if you lied to your dad because you know that he would get upset and you don't want to make him upset? No, you can't lie to him for that. You have to tell the truth. Even if he gets upset, it's better for him to get upset and then you to say sorry than it is for you to lie. But bear in mind, lying is when you tell something that's not true. If you just don't tell something, that's not necessarily lying, okay? Good. Okay. Okay, I'll come to that question for the girls in a second. Yep. Okay. Yeah, on the day of judgment, even that when you did something bad to a non-Muslim, you can get a punishment for that can happen to you because of that. But they won't have any good deeds they will not have good deeds because they're in the end, they there's no way for them to go to Jannah. But you will still have to answer for the things you did to them that were wrong. Okay, I've got a question from the girls which is really important. I'm coming to it, inshallah. I've got a question from the girls. They asked the question, why is prayer important? Why is it important for us to pray? And I think this is an extremely important question. I'm going to answer this from two or three different ways. The first is, praying is what makes you a Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ said, Al-ahdu alladhi baynana wa baynahum as-salah, faman tarakaha faqad kafar. The difference between us and them, who is us and them? Us is the Muslims, them is the non-Muslims, is the prayer. And whoever leaves it has disbelieved. Praying is the difference between a Muslim and a non-Muslim. The second thing is that praying is really important because we need Allah. We need Allah to help us. How can we live if Allah doesn't help us? We need Allah to help us. So when we pray, we get nearer to Allah and Allah answers our dua, and we need that. Thirdly, we pray and it's important because Allah deserves to be worshipped. That's why we were created. We were created to worship Allah. And Allah deserves us to worship Him. So we have to do what is the right thing to do, which is to worship Allah and to pray. Prayer is also important because in our life as Muslims, we don't give up our... We don't live like in a closed, like in a locked masjid where we never go outside, right? We go outside and we work and we study and we have friends and then we... But you have to have times where you come back and remember Allah. Does that make sense? Like if you think about it, you're at school. If you didn't pray, you would not remember Allah that whole time. Because you're not locked in the masjid all day. You're going out, you go to your family, your friends, you go to school, parents go to work. If you don't remember Allah regularly, you would forget. And prayer is important because one prayer is worth 10 prayers. So we pray five times a day, and how much reward do we get? How many prayers do we get? 50. that's a good deal. Five prayers for 50 rewards, that's a very good. Okay, yes, Mummy. Yeah, that's what I said. We need Allah, but Allah doesn't need. Allah doesn't need us. Yes. Yeah, a person might get, they get a sin if they don't keep their promises, and they might get even a, they might get a big punishment for not keeping their promises as well. So yeah, it's really important for people to keep their promises as much as they can. Sometimes it's not your fault, right? Would you agree? Sometimes it's like, you just, it wasn't your fault. You couldn't, you know, you tried to do it, but you couldn't do what people ask you to do. So it's important as well. Yes, Anas? No, okay.
Question regarding last week, we were discussing the hadith of the bitaqa. For the man who comes and he has 99 scrolls of evil deeds, but he has one good deed and that is the shahada.
Yeah.
Now, if that's the case, does that mean as Muslims, because we say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, does that mean we can do anything we want to do and fall back into?
That's a very good question. So the question relates to yesterday. We were talking about yesterday, last week, subhanAllah. We were talking about the hadith of the bitaqa. The man who comes with how many scrolls of bad deeds?
99,
as far as his eye can see. And the only thing he has in his favor is La ilaha illallah. Does that mean as Muslims that we can rely on that and we can say that, well, I said La ilaha illallah, so it's fine? I'm going to give you three reasons why we can't do that. Okay? There are many reasons, but I'm going to give you three reasons why we can't do that. The first reason is that La ilaha illallah isn't just a word that you say. It has actions that come along with it. So it's not just that saying La ilaha illallah. It's living La ilaha illallah. Does that make a difference? Does it make a difference? Yeah? Do you understand what I mean? It's not just saying it. I mean, the munafiqeen say La ilaha illallah, the hypocrites say La ilaha illallah, but it doesn't count. There are conditions, you have to say it truthfully and you have to act on it and practice it. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that a person doesn't know what Allah will accept from them and not accept from them. So a person can never ever rely upon one thing they do and say, this is, you know, I've done this one thing, it's all I need. True? Okay. The third thing is that regarding this man, we don't know what caused the man to get to that situation. Did he do good deeds, but his good deeds were taken away by other people who he did wrong to them? Or is it the case that he had just become Muslim and he died like that with the, you know, with La ilaha illallah? Or whatever the case may be. So a person cannot rely upon just saying La ilaha illallah, they have to act upon La ilaha illallah, and that means doing what Allah told you to do as much as you can. And you don't know what situation you'll end up in on the Day of Judgment, but perhaps La ilaha illallah will get you out of a great sin that you did, but at the end of the day you can't rely upon one thing. Like the Prophet said in the Hadith of Mu'adh, La tubashirhum fayatakilu. Don't tell people about something that they become, it makes them lazy, right? Like they don't want to do anything anymore. You have to work hard. وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا. The one who wants to go to Jannah and works hard for it. And they are, while they are Muslim, أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعِيهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. They are the ones that Allah is going to reward them for their hard work. Did you have anything to add to that?
JazakAllah khairan.
Okay.
Just one thing to add. I think this hadith is maybe this person before he passed away, he said La ilaha illallah. That's what one thought he said. Man kana akhir la ilaha illallah, that doesn't turn.
It's possible, but then how did he end up with 99 scrolls of bad deeds? Because if he only became Muslim at the moment he died, then his bad deeds have to be erased. But there are many possibilities, there are many ihtimalat about this person. But it's not to rely on anyway. It's a blessing in the virtue of La ilaha illallah, and we feel happy about it, but it doesn't, we don't rely on it. We don't say that there is no, any, I don't need to do anything good. Every person has to work hard. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. If the people work hard for Allah, Allah will guide them. Okay guys, I think we have to wrap it up there. That's what Allah made easy for us to mention today, and Allah knows best. وَالصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَى نَبِي